ప్రేమస్వరూపులారా,
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విత్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashanta Nilayam, the most happening place on the planet. And yes, Prashanti continues to mesmerize you every time you connect to Prashanta Nilayam, either through the Prashanti Mandir bhajans and the chants or the programs that go on in Sai Kulwant Hall. No matter where you are, you feel cleansed, you feel his presence, you feel your heart resonates with his love. And that is the power of Prashanti, and that is how Bhagwan helps us connect to the deepest core of our being, where he resides. And if you look at the Indian festival calendar, every month you have so many festivals. Every month there is a cause of celebration, celebrating one facet of the divine, celebrating one form of the divine. And every celebration is marked with a lot of things that we do externally in the form of rituals and traditions and practices, including what to cook, what to eat, how to dress, to a lot of sadhana that goes within. And when we reflect deeply on each of these festivals, each of these events that have been so beautifully laid out in the calendar of every Indian by our sages and seers, you know that the sages in their divine wisdom realize that the only way people, even as they live in the world, not get too entangled and bogged down with the pulls and pressures of the world is through them contemplating on something higher, through them coming together and celebrating something which will make them forget the daily anxieties and trials of life. And that is what these festivals do. Be it Guru Purnima, be it Shivaratri, be it Dasara, a lot of people do different sadhana during Dasara. For 9 days, you decide to undertake a particular spiritual practice, and that helps you to somehow shut yourself off from all that is happening in your life and just concentrate on Him. Shivaratri arrives and we spend the whole night in bhajans. You prepare for that for days. Krishnashtami is around the corner, and people all over prepare how they can celebrate this day. There are various hues and shades of devotees of Krishna. Krishna has been such, the Lord chose such a charismatic avatar that you have people connecting to Him through different ways. If you are someone who loves inquiry and deep spiritual philosophies, the Bhagavad Gita has been given by Lord Krishna. If you love to listen to the stories of the Lord, you don't want any intellectual exercise, you just operate from the heart, then the glories and exploits and stories of Krishna is really like nectar for you. If you want to serve, then Krishna, by himself being a charioteer of Arjuna, taught us how you can, no matter who you are, serve. He washed the plates of the Pandavas and the others. As we read the Mahabharata, we know of those tales when Krishna was willing to do any task. And it is the same when you look at Sai Krishna. If you want to drown yourself in the stories of people who have been touched by his love, any number of books you read are not enough, and it continues. One wonders how many people has really Swami touched, because every person you touch, every person you ask, every person you come in contact with who has had some opportunity with Bhagwan, they have so many stories. And each story startles you. You can just fill yourself with this nectar. Just like you can swim in the leelas of Krishna, you can just relish in this ocean of devotees' experiences of how they felt his love. And if you are someone who loves to reflect on the teachings, the philosophies, then there are the Vahinis that Bhagwan has written, be it Vidya Vahini, Gita Vahini, Sutra Vahini, Upanishad Vahini, all the deepest of philosophies in a form and manner that you and I can understand. It is not in the language Sanskrit. Swami wrote it in Telugu, and you have translations now in different languages. And if you are someone who wants to serve, then look at the saga of Bhagwan. It is only service. Right from the time he was a toddler, when he was eager to serve the beggar who came to the house, till that time he left his mortal coil, even when his legs were swollen, he wanted to sit, he wanted to move, he wanted to get up, he wanted to bless. And what to mention of the mega projects? Every little act, be it the construction of the mandir, be it the construction of various institutions, be it the little things that Bhagwan did in everyone's life, he was nothing but selflessness personified. And if you want to serve, I think there is no other better, loftier example than his own life. And when we celebrate these festivals, we have such beautiful opportunities to reflect on what the Lord means to us. What can we do for the Lord? No matter which path we take, how can we sanctify our lives? By going deeper in that path and by experiencing the power of his presence through that path. In the last few episodes, I've been reflecting on the festival of Rath Yatra. In the month of July, when the Rath Yatra in Puri happened, I could not but reflect on the beautiful connect that happens every time Lord Jagannath, Balabhadra and Subhadra come out of the temple, one of the holiest of shrines in the world, for every person who is an Indian and who follows the Sanatana Dharma, in their lifetime they would want to once visit Puri, just like they want to visit once Dwaraka and Badrinath. And I shared with you in the previous episode how the temple of Puri is so unique. How there are things that happen in this temple which are beyond logic, which science has no explanations to. And the mysteries that Bhagwan has created. Every divine phenomenon has mysteries surrounding it. Bhagwan himself said after once he did Lingodbhavam, one Shivratri, when people were in awe looking at how Bhagwan manifested that lingam from within himself. Swami said the divine sometimes has to do these extraordinary acts of mystery just so that people wake up and people realize in whose presence they are in. And all the temples are filled with such mysteries. And if you look at the form of Lord Jagannath, that itself is a mystery. Lord Jagannath does not have the natural features of all the other gods. You have Rama or Krishna, you have Shiva. The kind of picturization we have of all these gods are the picturization of a human being. But Lord Jagannath is very different. Lord Jagannath is always made of wood, neem wood. And Lord Jagannath does not have the eyes like you and me or Rama or Krishna or Shiva or Vishnu is depicted to have. His eyes are just huge circles. And look at his hands. It has no fingers. It is just unfinished. It is like just a log of wood. Just a cylinder. And his legs are not there. There is a very beautiful story about how this idol came into being. Very briefly, it was King Indradumna, who belongs to the clan of Lord Rama, who was blessed with a dream. And the Lord told him about a particular log of wood that was floating near the ocean in Puri. And the Lord directed that his image should be made out of that log. As they say, this log was what was left after Lord Krishna gave up his body. These are the remnants of the body of Lord Krishna which was floating on the waters, and now the Lord directed that this log be used to create images of him. And King Indradumna rushed to the spot on getting this dream, and he did find that floating log. And he wanted artists who can make idols out of it. And the artists he called, as they tried to test that wood, as they tried to see if they can sculpt in that wood, they could not. The artists found the wood so strong that they said it is impossible for us to do anything with this wood. How much ever they tried, they could do nothing with that wood. Every time the artisans tried to make something out of that wood, the tools of the artisans broke. They could not cut the log even a little. And when the king was worried how to go about making this, that is the point when a carpenter appeared by name Anant Maharana. And he said, I will be able to do this job. And he was a very senior person, very old person, but there was a halo around his head. And the king said, how sure are you that you can make this? Because I have had so many artisans and they were so strong and they could not do anything. And when he took this artisan to that log of wood, effortlessly this artisan was able to cut pieces from that log, and that is what gave confidence to the king. The king said, okay, maybe this is the Lord's will. And Ananta Maharana said he will do this job, but he has a condition that he shouldn't be disturbed when he's carving out the idol until he finishes the work. No one can come inside the room. And he said the room will be locked. So for 2 weeks, there was sound coming out of that room. The room was locked. No one was allowed to go in. But they would hear the noise of his sculpting. And he was doing it alone. After 2 weeks, suddenly the sound of work stopped. The Queen Gundicha, the wife of King Indradumna, got worried now. She said, every day I used to hear the sound of Ananta Maharana working, and I was waiting in anticipation when the work will be over and we can have the darshan of the Lord now in the form of Jagannath. But today when I went there, I did not hear any sound coming from inside. And he urged the king that, you know, we must go, we must check, we must do something. But the king was not keen to break the promise. But the queen kept pestering the king. He said, this is not fair. This person is working for you and I don't hear anything coming from inside. And it looks like something has happened to him. We have to open the door. And the king says, no, that is not what he had promised and we cannot do this. But somehow the queen prevails on the king to open the door. And when they open the door, to their utter surprise, they find no one there, no carpenter, only unfinished idols. And the king started crying. He always had an inkling that, you know, it is something mysterious happening. The carpenter was actually Vishwakarma, who was the divine architect, the architect of the gods, who had come in the form of that old man to sculpt the images of the divine. And there was no one inside. And the idols were unfinished. And the king kept crying and crying and seeking forgiveness of the divine. He started repenting. What a grave mistake he has done. The idols are incomplete. And he didn't live up to the promise. But then there was a divine voice where the king was told that don't regret about the idols not being finished. Install these idols as it is. The Lord will make himself visible to devotees in this form. Do not grieve over it. It is this form that the Lord himself has chosen. You don't worry about it. And that is how, when you look at the idols of Lord Jagannath, Lord Balabhadra, Lord Mother Subhadra, you will see that, you know, the hands are not complete, there's no proper legs, and the eyes, the face is just one square wooden block. But everything has a deeper significance. As they say, the eyes of Jagannath are round. Generally, the eyes are oval, because the Lord, as he's called Chokanoyano, which means he's the round eyes one, he can see everything. He sees your past, your present, your future. There is nothing that he cannot see, because he has really, really huge eyes. They are like magnifying glasses, because he magnifies everything good that we have done. One good act, if you have done, the Lord will magnify it 1,000 times. But what do humans do? One mistake you do and humans will magnify that mistake 1,000 times. They'll never look at the one good act that you have done, or the 1,000 good acts you have done. But when it comes to the Lord, even if you have done 1,000 not so good things, but one good thing you do, the Lord will magnify that. And that is the most beautiful thing about these big eyes of Lord Jagannath. He watches everything, and there are no eyelids. There are no eyelids. There's no time for the Lord to even blink. That's why they say Lord Jagannath, he's on constantly watching. In fact, the darshan in Puri happens 24 hours, except for just 2 hours in the night when the temple is closed. And even at that time, they say that the Lord does not have any time to rest. It is closed because that is the time the Lord is giving darshan to the devas and to the people in other dimensions. But otherwise, 22 hours is just there for anyone who comes for darshan. And he does not blink at all, because he wants to shower the grace of people looking at him, and him looking at people. The eye-to-eye contact is what every devotee wants, isn't it? If you have had that eye-to-eye contact with Swami even once, now that would be one life-changing moment. Every devotee, during darshan, when Bhagwan was physically there, you would want that one moment when Swami is looking into your eyes. And look at Lord Jagannath. He does not want to wink. He does not even have eyelids. And his hands, they are just two parallel blocks. It's like they are extending to infinity. They are extending to infinity. They are, no matter where you are, the hand of his grace is always there. And the color of Lord Jagannath, it is black. Many times people don't associate black with good things. But the Lord is telling, I am black. Who says black is not good? You mean to say I am not good? I am Anhodi? Lord Jagannath chose to be black. It is like he is taking everything upon himself. You think if there is anything within you that is not good, you give it to me. I will absorb everything. And black is beautiful. What is your problem? And if you look at the way Lord Jagannath comes out during Ratha Yatra, I've talked about it before, but that is one of the most fantastic spectacles that happens in Puri. And now it is replicated wherever there is a Jagannath temple. And this doesn't happen in every deity, in every god, you know. Yes, in many temples you have the deity comes out in procession. There are Utsava Murtis. There are different deities. It is not the deity which is there inside the shrine. There are substitute deities which are taken out. But when it comes to Puri, the Lord himself, the same Lord which is who's sitting in there, same Lord comes out. I've told you before, there are some restrictions wherein all people are not allowed to go into the Jagannath temple because of the history of how Jagannath temple has been desecrated by people of other communities who don't subscribe to Sanatana Dharma. So the Lord said, okay, if you don't allow people to come to me, I will go to the people. And that is how you have Ratha Yatra, where the Lord is on the road for 10 days, he's out of the temple. And he says, nobody can stop anyone from reaching me now. People, if they can even touch the rope that is used to pull the chariot of Lord Jagannath, they think that that itself will give them liberation. That is the fervor with which this Puri Ratha Yatra happens every year. Of course, this year, because of COVID, things are mellowed down. But the ceremony nevertheless happened. But the significance of the ceremony, when you look at Bhagwan, this is what Swami did, isn't it? Every day he went to the devotees for darshan, morning and evening, for 70 plus years. Everywhere else, you go to the shrine, you go to the temple, you go to the sanctum sanctorum, but here Bhagwan, the Sai Jagannath, he was coming every day. He was coming and taking letters from you. You can be seated. He will do the walking. And in the earlier years, how he has traveled to so many little towns and cities of Andhra, Karnataka, Kerala, Tamil Nadu. 300 lakh kilometers probably Swami has traveled. 300,000. So the juggernaut of his grace continues, and the Ratha Yatra of Lord Jagannath is one of those beautiful occasions when you see how people, no matter who they are, no matter what is their position, everyone throngs to have a glimpse of that Lord. And it is not easy to lift the Lord. It takes so much effort. Because it is not just, you don't need just that physical energy to lift him. It is really only through divine sankalpa that the Lord's chariot moves. And in the previous episode, I shared with you how the Lord's chariot once stopped because the Lord was waiting for one devotee. The Lord said, I will not go until this devotee comes. I shared with you the story of Bhakta Salabhego. He was not allowed inside the temple. The Lord said, okay, it does not matter. When I go out, unless this devotee comes and has my darshan, I will not go back inside. And the Lord in Puri is served by not the priestly class, not by the Brahmins. Yes, Brahmins do some part of the job, but the main inner circle of the servitors of the Lord belong to people of the lowest of castes. In the Sanatana Dharma, you have Brahmins and you have Kshatriyas and Vaishyas and Shudras. In fact, the class that is even lower than Shudras, untouchable. So Lord Jagannath tradition is such that these people who are considered untouchables, Sobaro as they are called, they are the people who actually serve the Lord personally. They change his clothes. They look after all his personal needs. That's another long story how that happened. That's all part of the story of how Lord manifested. But this tradition continues. The Lord, when he came down in the present age as Jagannath, installed himself as Jagannath, he wanted to tell the whole humanity, for me, it does not matter. You create all these barriers. I want to be served by the lowest of the low. And that tradition continues. end. The gracious Lord says, whoever comes to Puri, they have to go back with my blessings. They have to go back with the prasad, with the consecrated food that is offered to Lord Jagannath. And it is really considered highly propitious to be able to partake that prasadam that is offered to Lord Jagannath. And the sacredness of the food and the uniqueness of the prasadam is that nobody ever is ever denied. You can deny somebody to enter the temple, but you can never deny anybody from having the prasadam. You cannot deny anybody from having the darshan of the Lord when he comes out during Rath Yatra. And the prasadam always tastes unique. It has a divine aroma, and it is unbelievable how this prasadam always feels so unique. I shared with you in the previous episode how it's cooked mysteriously. There are 7 pots placed one top of the other, and the fire is lit down, but the pot on the top gets cooked first. So the very cooking itself is a mystery. And this consecrated food is the Lord's grace on everyone. Anyone who comes to Puri cannot leave Puri without having the prasad of Lord Jagannath. That is the reason the mystery of Lord Jagannath has always fascinated people from ages. And I shared with you before how when Jagannath idol was brought to Bhagwan from Orissa, Swami said, you have just brought an idol. Jagannath is here. Everything that happens in Puri, you can find parallels in Puttaparthi, you can find in Sai Jagannath. Bhagwan fills whoever comes to Prashanti with his grace. He travels to the devotees. He goes to them. And he is ever alert to hold the hand of whoever he calls. And he has no distinction. Anybody can come to Puttaparthi. Nowhere, never your background is asked or sought when you come to Prashantiniyam. It does not matter what you believe in or what you earn or where you come from, and it is the same with Lord Jagannath. And that is the reason why Puri continues to cleanse people just like Puttaparthi continues to sublimate whoever steps into this hallowed hamlet.
Chalo sokhi ambe darshan kariba, chalo sokhi ambe darshan kariba nilagiri kaliya ku, chalo sokhi ambe darshan kariba nilagiri kaliya ku, keu surapati besh kari achi giribar tolibaku se je srimukh tora sire suna dubo kera kera se je srimukh tora शंख चक्र गदा पद्म महाप्रभु धरिछति अंट करी दुस दुर्गति ग्रह पीड़ा माने आउ कि पसिबे डरी से जे दया सागर ଅବସାଗର କରିବେ ପାର ସେ ଯେ ଦୟା ସାଗର ତାଙ୍କ ପଦ୍ମ ପାଦେ ଲୟ କର ସେ ଯେ ଦୟା ସାଗର ଶ୍ରୀ ପୁରୁଷ ତମ ରହଣି କରିବା ଶ୍ରୀ ପୁରୁଷ ତମ ରହଣି କରିବା ଖାଇବା ଛଡ଼ା ତୁଳସୀ କହେ ସାଲ ବେଗ ହରି ହେ କହେ ସାଲ ବେଗ ସିଂହ ଦ୍ୱାର ଠାରେ ହୋଇଥିବା କ୍ଷେତ୍ରବାସୀ ସେ ଯେ ଆର ତତ୍ରାଣ କାଳ ଗଜକୁ ସିଂହ ପ୍ରାୟଣ ସେ ଯେ ଆର ତତ୍ରାଣ ଚାଲ ଚାଲ ପଶିବା ଶରଣ ସେ ଯେ ଆର ତତ୍ରାଣ ସେ ଯେ ଆର ତତ୍ରାଣ
So there is this story of a beautiful soul who was living 2 miles away from Puri in the village called Bali. And this person was called Dasa, Dasiya Bauri. And Dasiya Bauri was childless. He and his wife eked out their livelihood by weaving clothes. During festivals, when bhajans are sung and holy puranas are read, this young Dasiya, he used to hear them with rapt attention, and even though he didn't really understand much of the recitals, being not really educated, but he was always lost in listening to the glories of Lord Jagannath. And every time there was any satsang, he would go there. And he would lose himself in the proceedings, in hearing these stories and the glories, and when he would have time, he would just keep doing Nama Sankirtana. Whatever happened, he would always think that it is Hari Ichha, it is Hari's will. And his wife used to many times wonder, how are we to manage if you don't weave clothes? We will not have money to eat. But for Dasiya Bauri, just that thought of the Lord used to fill him with so much of bliss that he would many times be lost in that, and he would forget to do the job of weaving. And then came the festival of Rath Yatra, and there were so many people from the surrounding villages, nearby areas, who were going to Puri to have the Lord's darshan. And Dasiya thought, wow, can I not go with them? Let me also have the darshan of the Lord. Now he will come out, because he belonged to the lower caste. He was not sure whether he will get a good darshan if he went normally. He thought this is the best time to have a darshan of Lord Jagannath. And he also said, can I come along with you? And the villagers said, yes, yes, you can join us. And so he went to Puri for Rath Yatra. And as he went to Puri, and the Lord was out in the procession, and from the distance he had a glance of Lord Jagannath on the chariot, looking at the Nandi Ghoso, that huge chariot, the biggest of the chariots, Lord Jagannath, and the fervor with which people were chanting his name, and the chariot was being pulled, and the pull of the divine was so magnetic, the radiant face of the Lord with that black hue surrounding that idol, that enchanting red colored lips, and the white circle encircling the big eyeballs, and the glittering black cornea inside that made him spellbound in a spiritual trance, and just tears started streaming, rolling down his cheeks. That one darshan of the Lord filled him with so much of ecstasy, he just fell on the ground, surrendering himself to the Lord and giving himself to the Lord. That bliss could not be contained by his body. He prayed to the Lord, "Offer me salvation, O Lord. I don't know if I have that much merit. Maybe I have just committed sins. I don't know. Please give me salvation." And he realized that the only thing he should live for is Lord Jagannath, and everything else means nothing. And when he returned to the village, the scene of Lord Sratayatra, that one darshan of the Lord, filled his being so much that he just couldn't take his mind off that scene. He came back to the house and his wife, the noble one she was waiting for the husband, and she helped her to freshen up, and she had prepared food for him. And the food was rice gruel, because that is all they were eating, rice gruel. And in the middle of that rice gruel, she had kept little greens, sago as it is called in Odia language. And she had cooked that in a new earthen pot. And so in a mud plate, she offered this rice gruel, which was white, and in the middle of it, she had kept the green sago. And when Dasya saw that, that's it. He just lost consciousness. He said, "Oh my God, this is the face of my Lord. Look at these two big round eyes. You know, that white cornea and the black dot, black eyeballs. This is not a plate of food. This is the eye of my Lord. How can I eat this?" And he started crying. "Oh Jagannath, oh Jagannath." So everything has become just Jagannath for him. Just like Paramahansa, Ramakrishna Paramahansa looked at the sky and the swans and he swooned, thinking about the bliss of the Lord. It was the same with Dasya Bahuri. Whatever he used to see, he used to think of it as Lord Jagannath. The food is a simple food, just rice and greens, and to him it looked like the eye of the Lord. And he said, no, I cannot take this, what are you giving me to eat?" And his wife thought, "Oh my God, he's gone mad," because he started dancing in ecstasy. See my Lord here. And he called some villagers for help, and there was one wise man there. He said, don't worry, we have to do, he's not gone mad, but what he has gone, where he has gone, very, very few people can go there. The pujari came, one of the pujari of the temple in that village, and he said, the bliss that he is experiencing, he is really, really touched, and he is really, really blessed by the Lord. And he said, "Don't worry, just separate the greens from the white," because the moment he sees that, he just cannot not think about Lord Jagannath. And he suggested that you make separate plates of the rice and the greens, and that's how somehow they were able to pacify, bring down the ecstasy of Dasya, and Dasya then had the food. And because of that scene, what had happened, and they saw that genuine devotion, that genuine ecstasy in his heart towards Lord Jagannath. In fact, thereupon the villagers started calling Dasya as Baligaon Daso. Baligaon is that village name. They attached the name of the village to his name because they were so proud of him, of his love for the Lord. And every time he used to see something round Dasya Bahuri, he would just lose it. He would see anything in circle, he cannot but think of the eyes of his Lord. And he will automatically start hearing of the bells and he will start dancing. everywhere he went, he was only in that vision of the white circle surrounding the big eyeballs in the form of Jagannath. So everything was, if he looked at a wheel, he will go into ecstasy, because everything was to him looking like Lord Jagannath. And as it is mentioned, yad bhavam tad bhavati, if whatever you feel, that is what manifests. What manifests in front of you is what you feel deep inside intensely, and that is what was happening with Dasya Bauri. And they say one occasion Lord Jagannath gave darshan to Dasya Bauri in a dream, and the Lord told Dasya, do not think yourself as low just because you are born in a lower caste. For me, I am really attracted to you. Your devotion pulls me. And I am someone who loves to be with my devotees. I am in my devotees, and my devotees are in me. And I am so pleased with you. Ask me anything that you want. Anything that you want. And in that dream, Dasya says, oh Lord, I don't want anything. I'm not begging for anything special. I just want to only see you, that's all. I only want your darshan. I want to be with you all the time. And yes, if there's one more favor that you can give me, then this is all I want. Whenever I offer something to you, oh Lord, when I offer something to you, please accept it. Please accept my offerings to you. And the Lord said, sure, your desire will be fulfilled. And he disappeared. And he just woke up from the dream in ecstasy that Lord has granted him this boon. The Lord has said that he will give him darshan and that he will accept whatever he offers. And he was, as always, busy chanting of the name of the Lord, and he took a long time to weave a cloth, and after weaving a piece of cloth, he went to the village to one person to sell it. And when he showed that cloth to that Brahmin, accidentally in the garden of that Brahmin, he caught the sight of a coconut tree, and there was a beautiful coconut on it. And the thought that came to Dasya Bauri is, oh wow, such a beautiful coconut. Can I not offer this coconut to my Lord? He forgot that he needs to sell that cloth to bring rice so that his family can eat. But he thought, no. Let me use this cloth to buy this coconut, and let me offer this coconut to my Lord. Such a nice coconut. My Lord will be happy. And so he asked that Brahmin, can you give me that coconut in exchange for the cloth? And that greedy Brahmin, seeing the devotion of Dasya towards the Lord, told him, yes. Even though it was worth much more, he happily took the cloth, and he said the price of the coconut equals to the price of the cloth, even though it was much more. And Dasya didn't even bother. He said, okay, fine. And Dasya Bauri came home, he freshened up, he took bath, he went to the Brahmin, he fetched the coconut, he brought the coconut down, and then, taking that coconut, he started looking for someone who is going to Puri. And when he found one Brahmin who was going to Puri, Dasya said, you know what, if you don't mind, can you offer this coconut to the Lord? He saw one person who was going with jackfruit, mangoes and other things. And Dasya said, please, can you do this offering on my behalf? And the Brahmin said, okay. But Dasya said, but I have a request. When you give this coconut to the Lord, you just tell the Lord that Dasya had sent this for you, Lord. And I tell you, the Lord will himself take it. He has promised me, the Lord will himself take this prasadam from you. And if by any chance he does not take it, then you just get it back. I will deal with my Lord. And the Brahmin laughed and he said, what do you mean the God will, Lord will take it from, directly from me? Okay, I'll just go and I'll, if the Lord does not take, and that is what will happen, I will bring it back. So he took that, and Dasya was in ecstasy because, you know, he was so happy that he has got this chance to offer something to the Lord. He waited in excitement to find out if Lord Jagannath would take that coconut and what would happen. And this Brahmin reached Puri and he gave his offerings to the Lord. He had taken many things from his side to offer to the Lord. And after he's finished everything in the Sanctum Sanctorum, when he's coming out, suddenly he remembered that he has forgotten to make this offering of Dasya Bauri. So holding that coconut near the Garuda Stambha, which is the Garuda pillar, he called out to Lord Jagannath and he said, oh Lord, you know, there is this Dasya Bauri who's called Baligaon Daso. He has sent me this coconut for you. This is what he has told me. If you desire, please take it with your own hands. Else, no problem, I will take it back. And the Brahmin just said it lightly as a matter-of-fact way, not really feeling anything, but he was so stunned to see that suddenly, from nowhere, a bright big hand appeared and that coconut disappeared in a moment from his hand. He was so awestruck with what had happened. He said, oh my God, really? The Lord has taken? He just casually said, Lord, this is the prasad that Dasya has given, but the coconut just disappeared. And he started saying, oh Lord, I had no idea of the devotion of Dasya Bauri. Please forgive me. But you know, how, will you really believe me if I say that I have got taken this prasadam? Give me some proof. And suddenly he found half of the coconut back. So Lord said, see, take this as my prasad and communicate to Dasya that I have lived up to the promise that I made him. Whatever he offers, I will accept. And they say, people started flooding to offer their pranams to Dasya Bauri the way the Lord accepted the prasadam of Dasya. Just opened everyone's eyes. There was another occasion when Dasya collected sweet ripe mangoes and proceeded towards Puri to hand over the same to Lord Jagannath. And on reaching the shrine, the lion's gate or the Simhadwar as it is said, he was surrounded by all these priests, and the priest said, no, you give it to me, you give it to me, give it to me, I will offer it to Lord Jagannath. And when he looked at the attitude of the priest, he did not like it and he said, doesn't matter, no problem, I will give it myself, I'm not going to give it to any of you. And he just sat there and he prayed to Lord Jagannath to accept those mangoes from him. And the priest said, what do you mean you will offer it from here? He said, no problem, I will give it to my Lord. And they were shocked when they saw that when Dasya prayed, oh Lord, I have brought these ripe mangoes for you, please come and accept from this Dasya, the crowd that was there, they were bewildered to see how an unseen hand just appeared and took this mango one after another from the basket. The basket became empty. And everyone thought, oh my God, where did the mangoes go? And Dasya said, Lord Jagannath himself is taking the mangoes. He has taken the mangoes. And all the people who were serving Lord Jagannath, they said, what do you mean Lord has taken the mangoes? They couldn't believe. They went to the shrine of the Lord, and to their utter surprise, they found remnants of this mango. The mango peels and the mango stones were strewn. They were there all over the place in the Sanctum Sanctorum. That is the glory of Dasya Bauri and the glory of every devotee who has given his heart to the Lord. Once when his wife said, I couldn't have the darshan of Lord, you went to Puri, I missed that. He said, no problem, you come with me. And he took her to the pond in that village. And in the pond, his wife saw the images of Lord Jagannath, Balabhadra and Subhadra in the reflection of that water. They say even till this day, they don't use that pond. that pond is considered very, very sacred. In fact, in the village where Dasya Bahuri was born, there is a temple and there is a beautiful statue of him, and that whole area reverberates with that intensity of love for Lord Jagannath that Dasya Bahuri exemplified. And there are so many such souls. Every time, now and then, the Lord blessed us with such souls so that we awaken to the power of His presence and undertake this greatest adventure. There is no other adventure as thrilling and as fulfilling and as satisfying and as exhilarating as connecting with the Lord. And these are the people who showed us the way. And all we have to do is just learn little lessons from their life, take inspiration from them, and walk on this path and enjoy the joyride to the Lord. So, dear listeners, every story of the Lord is just absolutely nectarous. And let's pray to Bhagwan that we lose ourselves in these stories and make our story part of His glory. As always, if you'd like to share anything, you can write to listener@ssmediacenter.org. You can also send your comments to our WhatsApp number, 9393-258-258. Offering this little endeavor at His lotus feet with all love and joy, I take your leave. Thank you so much. Sairam.